This video is sponsored by freedomdecrypted.com.
Recording is started. Welcome, boys, girls, and assorted malcontents to the New Hampshire Exit Podcast. At this point, it's just me and you, Ian.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Got some news this week. I guess we could give it another minute, see if anybody else shows up.
Yeah, to clarify, for those who are only listening and are new to this, NEH Exit is the where the independence movement in New Hampshire, and we have this weekly meeting to discuss the independence legislation that was filed at the State House and is now about to be voted on by the State House in New Hampshire.
And so what's your news? Well, that is the news from Matt Santanastasso, is that it doesn't appear that it is going to be voted on, at least not at this upcoming session that is expected to happen on Wednesday and Thursday this week in Manchester. He says he has received the, I guess, the guidebook or whatever it is that they put out prior to the vote and does not see CACR 32 present anywhere in it.
Yeah, maybe they'll just disappear it.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's not there.
I mean, I can't imagine that would be any worse for us than them, you know, getting an overwhelming vote against it. So I don't know if they even have a motivation to do that. But it just, they may want to keep us from being able to say that we reached a certain point, you know, in the process.
Yeah, I didn't take a close look at the document. I did go through and I just did a quick search for CACR 32, and it wasn't in there, but it's one of those lengthy government papers that just, you know, is 30 pages or whatever. So I didn't take a close look. It just looked like the normal House calendar document. So, I mean, I presume Matt knows what he's talking about, although he is a newer state rep. So it might be a good idea to just check in with Mike Sylvia, somebody that's had a little bit more, a few more terms under their belt, and just make sure that, you know, this isn't some sort of trickery. It certainly could be. It's like, oh, well, we won't put it on the official docket, but then we'll go ahead and spring it at the last minute and do a quick vote, you know, at the end of the day on Thursday or something like that. So I wonder if they could pull a sneaky move like that. It wouldn't surprise me if they could.
I just assume that this point in time where we're all kind of relaxed is it's probably one of the most dangerous times for the bill or the amendment or whatever. This is when they'll spring their trap if they do. But again, so far they've been pretty open-handed and transparent in their handling of everything. So maybe maybe they'll continue doing that. Greetings, fellow Jitzer, whoever fellow Jitzer is.
Hi, I'm Jordan Cannon.
Welcome, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. So you're a first timer on this podcast, correct?
Yes.
And I don't even think we've met, but it's good to meet you.
Yes, I live in Alsted, I don't think we've met.
He was at the hearing. You weren't there though, Ridley. So I guess you haven't met him.
Correct. Yeah, I was still in Colorado.
I'm gonna send a message to Mike Sylvia and just let him know what Matt said and get his feedback on what he thinks are the potential outcomes this week.
Okay. Okay. If and when we hit a lull in our conversation, I have an article or two I can read to fill the gap. but tell us more about yourself, if you like, Jordan. What got you interested in this?
Oh, let's see. What got me interested in it? Well, I mean, I've lived in many different places. I've lived in Kazakhstan and Japan. Lived in London briefly and kind of lived all over the U.S. So I've kind of been exposed to different forms of government, I think. I went to graduate school in Atlanta, and I got my master's in criminal justice. And I wrote, or I co-authored a paper back years ago about community policing and homeland security. So in the research of that paper, I learned a lot of the, I guess, the dispersion of homeland security and federal government into state, local, municipal governments. And that, I guess that kind of got my mind thinking that, you know, well, once something like that happens, history sometimes says it's like a ticking clock with, you know, that type of centralized authority type deal. So that's kind of, you know, my motivation behind supporting, you know, this stuff, I guess.
Jordan, if you could speak, if you have a way of speaking either a little louder or closer to the microphone, or preferably both.
Oh, yeah.
You're coming out softer than the rest of us, and it makes it difficult for people to listen while they're eating or whatnot.
No, it's good. I'm sorry about that.
They're always having to adjust levels, then they don't want to listen to our podcast. I'm getting complaints, which means we're getting viewers. Yeah, that's, do you know Catherine Bleich? She's real into that. She's heavily focused on the fusion centers. And she's sort of a New Hampshire oriented liberty activist, but she lives in Texas. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing? I'll be in and out. I'm actually officiating at a funeral in a minute. Who's this gentleman with us?
Jordan Cannon. I live in Alstead.
Okay, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Welcome, Chris.
Hello.
What was your impression of the hearing, Jordan? Are you a veteran at the State House or a first-timer?
First time to that State House. Observations, I guess one would be the testimony given by the African-American male that was against secession. Once he was done, he stood up and gave a thumbs up to one of the legislator people, I think. So I was like, just kind of fascinated by maybe that level of open corruption. It seemed that the representatives were just more into pacification than actually constructive listening. But that's just my opinion.
That's why we have voting, right?
how would thumbs upping a legislator be considered corruption?
Well, so if the person giving the testimony is doing so on the legislator's behalf, and it's kind of like an open display of this is not necessarily an individual testimony. This is a testimony that was maybe prescriptive, pre-agreed upon, or not given for the purposes of the hearing, but for personal gain, personal benefit on the person, on the behalf of the person giving the testimony.
Didn't they even ask somebody to testify or something at some point? The rep, I would see it as corruption either, but if it was, they were very blatant about it.
All right. I will go ahead and read an article from the press, mainstream press, about this. And if you guys want to, if it gives you thoughts, feel free to interrupt. Let's see. From the Lowell Sun. Quote by, let's say at the top it says, what does it say? Okay. Quote, written in granite. Proposal for NH to leave U.S. shows how divided we are. By Joan T. Stylianos. Unquote. I think she, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but I think she may be a writer for the Telegraph in Nashua. I think she might be a Nashua resident. Her name is familiar.
Where did this article appear?
But if this appeared in the Lowell Sun, which is a town, you know, just south of Nashua in Massachusetts. She says, quote, I think that most readers here would agree we are a divided America more than ever now. Some have compared our hyperpartisanship to the Civil War. One only has to look closer to home in the Granite State. I read something recently that shocked me, and at first I thought it was a joke, but no, it's the real deal. And some are giving it the thumbs up while others are expressing disgust. The bill, known as CACR 32, was introduced by Rep. Mike Sylvia R. Belmont with six co-sponsors. It would do is declare New Hampshire independence from the United States and peaceably move the Granite State forward as a sovereign nation, unquote. And that typo there, I'm just reading a typo. That's how it's written. There's like a word missing in the sentence. Anyway, I'll stop and let other people talk if they want to. All right. Like, sign opposed, seeing none. I'll continue. Quote, during a few hours of public testimony, Sylvia challenged the committee of legislators considering the proposal. Subquote, some believe this is a laughable question. Do they fear the answer? Some believe that the question of independence has been settled. If so, then our state's sovereignty has been stolen. Unsubquote. Well, the House State Federal Relations and Veterans Affairs Committee voted unanimously 21-0 on January 21st to recommend killing the measure. From what I understand, the bill, which was proposed as a state constitutional amendment, would have to pass the House and Senate by a 3/5, 60% majority. Then 2/3, 67% of voters would have to approve the amendment. Frankly, I find all this rather silly and actually unpatriotic. But a deep political divide exists even in friendly, small NH, which takes pride in having the first in the nation presidential primary. And here are some interesting facts about the Live Free or Die state that I found at history.com. Unquote. Okay, so she's kind of drifting off topic now. So. Have I inspired conversation yet?
Do you happen to know?
No, give us something to be upset about.
I mean, this is just what I have in front of me, but there's other stuff that's been said that's of interest. I just don't have it all right in front of me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I heard anything in there that was like, oh, I disagree with that. That's wrong.
Yeah, I think the Boston Globe was the Boston Globe article was harsher.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this just sounds like it's stating the facts. I mean,
well, okay. She did say it was unpatriotic, but.
Oh, I'm sure it is, but I don't think I don't know if they've worded it in such a way that I would disagree with it yet. It's like, yeah, we're divided. That's a fair statement, I think.
She did at least say that she did at least speak accurately about what the bill did.
Yeah. So.
Just to update, since we got a larger group here, I was told by Matt Santonstasso, state representative, co-sponsor of the bill, this week that the upcoming full House session is not going to include CACR 32. So we were expecting to have to go there this week and, you know, hold signs and all that. And maybe we should anyway, but they're supposedly not going to be hearing that bill in front of the full House this week. So when that will come up is not clear. I have sent a message to Mike Sylvia today just to see if he can weigh in and give us, you know, his perspective on whether they can pull a fast one. And even though it's not on the list, maybe bring it up anyway, or what their options are. So I will advise when I hear more.
It's Dave here. I need to know as soon as possible once there is any kind of demonstration or gathering scheduled or something like that, so I can inform the maximum number of people. I've got some, you know, email lists and other stuff I can do that can spread the word.
Yeah, I'll definitely let you know.
I guess I've gotten on maybe five talk shows in the last 2 weeks to discuss this, mostly in Massachusetts and New Hampshire.
I listened to your discussion with Matt Connerton, and after you were off the line, he basically blew off the issue, made it sound like it was crazy. How was the reception on the other talk shows? Has any talk show host ever been supportive of this, or have they all just acted like this is crazy talk?
Oh, yeah, sure. Matt is the most hostile of the talk shows that I call into. He's not precisely hostile himself, but he's sort of, his wife doesn't like me. So he's like, I think he's limited in how many nice things he can say about me. but she's sometimes a co-host, and she I don't know anyone that dislikes me more than she does, but that, you know, I call a lot. It would be better if there's other people calling, and, you know, I'm probably considered, you know, not very valuable because I'm not very scarce, but yeah, the other shows are pretty friendly. You know, they don't all support independence, but, they, you know, some shows too, it's like, I can only call them once basically because they're out of state, you know, they're really just not connected with New Hampshire at all. And what can you do? Call them with an update while they're talking about something else. You know, I can call them and tell them we have independence legislation, but it's difficult to call in just with an update or two, unless they've asked me to. So like Dan Ray on I think it's WRKO in Boston, or one of the big Boston radio stations, has invited me to call in with updates periodically. So that helps a lot. I can call him a lot more. I can call some of the other stations. But like the station in Connecticut was thrilled, you know, they were very excited about it. But that's unusual. Mostly it's just people kind of being tolerant of it. Well, tell us more, you know. For those who like calling talk radio, or are interested in doing so, there's if you go to forum.shiresociety.com and scroll down a ways, you'll find a list of talk radio stations and schedules that you, where you can call in.
Oh, I should say that Matt also something else out to me. I'll get to that in a moment. I just got a response from Mike Sylvia. He says, correct, the CACR 32 is not in the calendar for this coming week's full house session. And I asked him, well, can they pull a fast one and vote on it without having it on the docket? And he says he does not think they can. He says, though, we did have a number of bills last year that went into limbo when session ended without action. So doesn't sound like we need to show up this week.
With any luck, it would put a bunch of people on our side if they started pulling shenanigans. There is an update of sorts. Well, it's an update, and it's related to independence, sort of, from the guys over at Library, who are under attack by the feds, the guys who are based in Manchester. I'm trying to find the details here.
I was just reading about that. I mean, I only read the headline, but...
Here's what I posted about it. Quote, Manch-based YouTube competitor targeted by YouTube's ally, the FedGov.
an independent New Hampshire would mean freedom for LBRY.com. Quoting Library, or this post from Library on Twitter, quote, at last minute, the SEC wants to pause our court case for another 8 weeks to collect more evidence. The case has already been open for 196 weeks. We've complied every step of the way, providing over 1 million pages of documents. These people are evil, unquote. So that's a post from the people over at Library who are like a YouTube competitor in New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's been going on over 4 years.
So this is yet another reason why we want our independence. And if we didn't have the SEC breathing down Library's neck, maybe they'd be free to provide proper competition to YouTube.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we don't have an issue that really strikes with the masses, I don't think. I mean, maybe we do, but I don't know what that would be. But having an issue that would be, you know, more, I don't know, something that gets more at the heart of something that the mass, more of the masses care about. I'm not sure how many people even know what Library is, unfortunately.
Yeah, the vaccine mandate is the one that's the closest thing we have at this point. I mean, obviously, a vaccine mandate is less evil than running a torture chamber at your Air Force base or starting a new war every 3 years, but it's something that affects all Americans more directly. So that's the kind of thing. But I would have expected maybe one more abuse of that size against Americans by now. And it hasn't happened. That's great. And, you know, hopefully these independence movements give them just yet another reason not to push the people any further.
So I've got an update here from Matt Santanastasso regarding, let me pull it up. Oh, so something I misunderstood about the House process that was not clear to me previously. I had thought that they could only put in every, like the same bill could only be put in once every 2 years. And that's kind of true, but the specification is it's actually once every term, every 2 year House term. So this being the second year of their current 2 year House term means that they could reintroduce the exact same bill in 2023, but then it would not be able to be reintroduced in 2024. We would have to put some other independence-related legislation in that year. So we actually can do this 2 years in a row, just because of that.
Ian, do you have a means of reducing your volume a little bit, or stepping away, or speaking softer, or something? You're blowing out everybody else.
Yeah, sorry about that.
There's probably not much you can do, but we're trying to meet the requests of our viewers.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good sign. At least we have them.
Yeah, right.
I said earlier. So anyway, that's the good news, is we can do this again next year.
Right. There would be a gap. I guess we could not do it the year after that. We could do it 3 years from now. So.
And here's the other thing is, I don't think – this one I'm not clear on, but I don't think that if, like, let's say this thing were to go, you know, a miracle happens and next year it gets passed, or not, sorry, I keep holding the mic closer. next year it gets passed and gets on the ballot. I think that it still has to wait until the next state election. So there wouldn't be a special ballot in 2023, because there's no state election. They're not going to call an election just to have people vote on this, I don't think, which would mean we would then have an extra year to, you know, to debate, to talk about, to promote. So it actually, I think it would be a good idea to bring this back next year instead of, you know, purposely waiting until 2024.
Melissa Blast, I think it was Melissa. No, I should probably actually not name anyone. I can't remember who it was. There was someone I contacted. It may not have been Melissa, actually, but one of the liberty-oriented reps. She didn't really bring this up early enough to make a difference, but after we had moved pretty far forward with a constitutional amendment, she mentioned that she would kind of like to see a study committee on independence, and that's what she favored and doesn't want to just jump straight toward the amendment. And that's why she wasn't getting very closely involved with us. But she was still pretty supportive. Whoever this rep was, I can't remember who it was. But anyway, she recommended a study committee for this year, but she really recommended it kind of too late for us to act on that. That certainly a study committee could be done year after next. A House concurrent resolution could be attempted year after next. Some of these other backup options that we had that we were considering could be attempted, I think, the year right after the constitutional amendment. Maybe the year after next, I guess.
It might not be such a bad idea to do a study committee, especially if we get more articles out of it, more, you know, because right now people think it's crazy, but that's mostly because they haven't heard about this before. Whereas, you know, if you have a study committee and we're looking into it, you know, over time it'll sound less crazy, I think, because it'll have been a process that people have heard about, they'll know about it, and there probably will be more support.
People just, you know, they can't accept the idea that things change.
Yeah.
And that America's just like other countries in most respects. That which happened in the Soviet Union is just a normal thing. It's going to happen here eventually. That which happened in the British Empire, blah, 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 that's going to happen here. The good and the bad, presumably, hopefully just the good. But, you know, it's just going to be a question of how long it takes the federal government to start collapsing or how long it takes them to push everybody too far.
Yeah, maybe a combination of China and Russia will get our economy to collapse.
That is not something to wish for.
Well, I'm not wishing for the economy to collapse, but the state to collapse would be nice. I mean, assuming we can replace it with something better. Or not replace it.
I saw that Russia is going to accept cryptocurrency now. This is Bonnie on Ian's line.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Hello.
What were you saying, Bonnie? I didn't understand it all.
Oh, I said I saw today that Russia is going to legalize cryptocurrency. They're going to regulate it, but still better than the U.S.
Oh, I heard they were going to make it illegal, but, you know, it's always both at the same time everywhere.
I mean, what do they mean by legalize? I mean, most of the issue with the U.S. is not that it's illegal; it's that they've attempted to make it so complicated that everybody is a criminal.
They're going to like incorporate it with their banking system and like regulate it in a certain way where things can, you know, instead of being in the gray market, they said, just function legally, quote unquote. I don't know. Maybe right now it's illegal, so they're going to make it illegal, but I saw that today. I can send you guys an article. I'm only talking about it because you're talking about the economy collapsing and maybe ours will.
Bonnie, question for you. Did you have any luck with that there's this talk show in Massachusetts that wants one of us in person as a guest. Did you have any luck contacting them?
No, I didn't contact him, but I can. No, I can tomorrow.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, just let me know if you can't do it so I can keep looking for somebody.
Okay, I will.
And like I said, I'm not, you know, it's possible he'll let you do it by Skype or something like that, but
I asked Alu, but he said that he, like, gets off work like an hour before that, so he couldn't do it.
Yeah. The talk show in Nashua, one of the talk shows in Nashua has asked me to start being the guest once a month. So I guess my first appearance is supposed to be about a month from now.
Cool.
Oh, I keep forgetting. I need to do this today. Mike Sylvia was on the Free State Live last week. I don't know if you guys are aware of that show. It's the Free State Project now has a Monday night, 1-hour long interview show
where there are several hosts, Jeremy Kaufman from Library, Carla Garrick, Bill Barger, who's a New Hampshire native, and Justin O'Donnell, who's a libertarian activist. They're the four hosts, and then they usually have one guest. They've had Alu on a few weeks ago, and then they had Mike Sylvia on this past week. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good show. It never disappoints.
And Mike likes to say that he's terrible at speaking publicly or whatever, but he did a great job and was on point and was well-spoken. So I don't believe him when he says that. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's how funny how the mainstream media, when they quoted him, they all used the exact same sentence pretty much. And like nothing else he said got through to anybody except this one sentence that they all apparently agreed on using.
So they all copy each other mostly.
Yeah.
They're all on the same side. They're always pro-state, anti-freedom.
It was not a very interesting sentence. It was kind of a boring sentence, you know. I just not memorable and didn't really make our. I mean, it was not the best thing he said. And you know,
of course not, because they take when they don't like you, they just take the random stuff that was said, and they don't even listen to the whole. You know, whatever it was that you. If you give a speech, they won't listen to the whole speech. They'll just take something from the speech.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if nobody has anything else to add, I guess I will go ahead and eject and stop the recording. But stop me if I'm acting prematurely.
Only other thing is I did get another message from Mike Sylvia when we were on this meeting. I had asked him, because he had said that last year a number of bills went into limbo when the session ended without anyone taking action. I said, could someone demand that a bill can be heard or that a bill be heard if it starts to look like it will be quote unquote forgotten? And he says, yes, there is something called a motion to special order. So if we start getting close to the end of all the various, you know, the House sessions, because for listeners that maybe don't know, the New Hampshire State House is part-time. They're not there year round. So we start getting toward the end, then it does sound like Sylvia or Matt St. Themistos or one of the sponsors could call, you know, demand basically that this bill be voted on and heard. So it is going to happen. Just it doesn't look like it's happening this week. That's all I got.
Well, I guess this gives us more time too. And maybe we can get some more people still to write to reps and, I don't know, maybe some articles or something. Or opinion pieces.
Hey, dude, the big meeting was supposed to happen last week. I ended up not being able to attend, but can you kind of give us a summary of how that second big get-together with all the different, you know, mostly freedom-friendly groups in New Hampshire went?
Yeah, that was about 16 people, maybe a little more like 18 that showed up, which is down from the time before. So the first time we had 24 people, this time we only had about 18. And one of the people on the call indicated that this turnout was a little bit suppressed by the fact that people didn't want to be recorded. It turned into kind of a strategy session for trying to find someone to back against Sununu, like the primary Sununu. And there were some other things that came up, but I don't remember the details, except people started trying to keep me from broadcasting the call. They wanted me to not upload it like I normally do. So I reluctantly complied, but I'm not going to be hosting that again if I'm not allowed to upload it.
That's too bad. I mean, it's so silly because they could easily be infiltrated.
Well, they're going to – I've showed them how to do that themselves so they can host their own meeting with their own rules or whatnot. But I'm not going to lead a meeting that I'm keeping secret.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, but it was definitely still a good vibe. You know, it's nice to have so many people, and you know, it was really nice to start something like this. It was really just Therese Grinnell had this idea that why don't we do something? You know, I was just calling her to introduce myself, you know, a couple months ago, and she's all about action. So how do we turn this call into something? So we turned it into that meeting, and that was kind of nice to have so many people. So they'll hopefully continue on and on to newer and better things, but I bet they'll keep meeting on Jitsi because it's so convenient.
So were there any kind of key takeaways? Do you have anything planned? Was there any discussion of secession? You know, is there kind of
I think some people, someone brought it up. It was not really very closely connected to it, but they were really angry about the way our bill was treated. As I recall, I don't remember the details, but it did come up by itself. I didn't really speak much. I just tried to make sure that everyone else could talk. I think what will happen, you know, with groups like this when they're this big is people like, yeah, we're pro-liberty. We want to have this new immigration law. We're pro-liberty. We want to have this new abortion law. We're pro-liberty. We want to all this different spending, you know, that starts. During the first meeting, I think you were there when that guy was like, yeah, I'm pro-liberty and I'm trying to stop businesses from making their own decisions about masks and stuff like that. So it's just kind of, as the tent starts to get bigger and bigger, you have it. Typical liberty minus one problem where all of a sudden it's not about liberty anymore. It's about some new government expense.
Typical conservatives.
Yeah. But it's good to see. It's still good to see the people involved. One of the things that we didn't talk about as much as I would have liked to on this meeting is they're starting to have this thing called owners meetings in the basement at the state house. And so just trying to flood the place with just average people who will go in there and interact with the representatives. And I think they're doing it every other week at this point.
What is it called?
They're calling it, and I love the name more than anything else, owners meetings.
Who is calling for these meetings? Is it state reps or somebody else?
Well, I heard about it from Therese Grinnell, but I'm not sure if it's her idea.
Oh.
I'm not even sure what day it is. I got the impression they were doing it on Friday, which is not a very good day to do it because there's not very many reps there. So I'm not sure if they're still doing it on Fridays or not. And like I said, last I heard it was just every other day. I'm sorry, every other week, but I also heard they were doing it like lots. So I don't know. And I don't know what their website is or their, you know, page or any more information. I just know that it's a cool idea to get people interacting with the reps down there.
So is the idea like the people attending the meeting own the reps? I'm not sure what's the name all about?
Yeah, it's like the idea is they own the building. So there they are to check out and see how their building's being used.
They should have Joe from Breaking the Flago if he's good at that stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, for those listening to the podcast or whatever you want to call it, you can find more copies, you know, more meetings, the weekly meeting at RidleyReport.com. You know, this is probably the 10th or 15th one we've had, and there'll probably be 10 or 15 more. So if you like what we're talking about and find it interesting, then you'll find more at RidleyReport.com.
Great meeting. I guess signing off.
Thanks all right, guys. Everyone for being here and for everything that all of you do.
Have a great Sunday.
Thanks for coming out.
This Ridley O sponsored by FreedomDecrypted.com, a New Hampshire-based liberty-slanted tech show for prickly persons. So prickly, in fact, that at least one of them has become a political prisoner. Tune in and find out why the man can't stand FreedomDecrypted.com.